Right, just as we've only got a minute or two, Psalm 42. And I really want to simply share a favourite text of mine that's found in Psalm 42. You know the psalm, as a deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, "Where is your God?" When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mitzar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. I'm going to stop there because it's the next verse I want us just very briefly to meditate on. Last night, I didn't sleep at all, I'm afraid. But one of the things I did during the night was listen to Simon Ponsonby. Now, I mentioned that book on the Second Coming, and apparently he'd got connections here. Somebody said to me that he preached an amazing sermon a week last Sunday in Oxford, because their church administrator, somebody I'd met, I didn't know, but their church administrator, just a week last Friday, was killed by a cement mixer that knocked her off her bike and killed her. And they said, you should listen to Simon Ponsonby preaching. He's crying as he's preaching this sermon, saying, I do not understand, and etc. It's very, very moving. And it's great to be in a week like this with tremendous joy. And yet we know that at times life can be very, very harsh and tough. We know this, don't we? And the psalmist here is reflecting this. And then he says, and Simon Blessing brought it out yesterday, despite all that he could not understand, the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. And then you get two great phrases. And in the night his song shall be with me. So the first idea of songs in the night. Isn't that lovely? You get the same phrase, song. You get the phrase songs in the night, rather, in the book of Job. Of course, you find it literally expressed with Paul and Silas in prison. They had songs in the night. In July, sorry, I won't go on. But they literally had songs in the night. If you look at that passage, you'll see that as they were singing them, it says, and all the prisoners heard them. If you want an interesting study, just allow your mind to go through the Bible and think of all the times believers had an inadvertent influence on others, an influence they weren't even aware of. Joseph crying in the Pharaoh's temple and the whole house. Anyway, that's a different matter. But songs in the night. God is able to give us songs in the night. Joy in the midst of bleak, dark, distressing, bewildering times. And then I want you to notice this. Five words that I just love. A prayer to, here we go, the God of my life. The God of my life. Nowhere else in all of the scripture is God described as the God of my life. It's as if the psalmist invented a new name for God. I don't know whether you've ever done that. When I was SBS, single but searching, I used to pray to God, the perfect matchmaker. And I've never found that description in the scripture, though he certainly is the perfect matchmaker. But I don't know whether you've ever invented a name for God, but here the psalmist comes up with this name, the God of my life. And all I want to share with you is there is tremendous comfort in that. He is the God of my life. When things aren't working out as I would have chosen, or as I would have wished, or as I would have expected, he is the God of my life. When doors seem to close and you really think they should have opened, And when doors open, you think, oh, I wish they'd stayed closed. He is the God of my life. When tough times come, and they can be terribly tough, the doctor might just say, will you, you know, sit down I've got something to tell you. It's horrendous. I remember I'd been speaking at Oxford at the University Christian Union, and I was going on to a mission in Belgium. And at 9:30 at night, my GP phoned me up and said, Roger, I gather you're going to Belgium. I said, well, yes, why are you phoning me? And she said, you cannot. You need to come back home. And I'll see you at 9:00 tomorrow morning. And, oh, bless her. And she's a great GP. She's a wonderful GP. But devastating. You think, why? But, okay, that's a little thing. But the God of my life. What real comfort. And as we go into this new year, you know, as far as between conferences is concerned, he is the God of my life. And, of course, as well, there is not only comfort but challenge. Is he the God of my life? Am I free of idolatry? Or have I started taking risks, just trifling with temptation, playing around with things that I think, at the moment I can control, but you know deep down, they are deadly. They are dangerous. Is he really the God of my life? So I love the phrase, songs in the night, even in the bleakest of times, there can be joy because we have the Lord. And also, he is the God of my life, the comfort and the challenge of that. Okay.